Father, thank you for this day. We thank you for the privilege to be here in your house this morning. We thank you for each one this year, dear God. And we do pray for others that are sick, those that have had surgery this week. I pray you bless them and encourage them today. And Lord, just help them to be stronger each day that they might be able to be back with us here at your house. Father, bless our teachers now as we, Lord, present what you've laid upon our hearts. Lord, I pray the Spirit of God will lead and guide. He would be the teacher. We would hide ourselves. And Lord, that the Spirit of God might take the Word of God now. And Lord, speak to each of our hearts and help us and direct us in our lives as we go through each day. Thank you again for this gathering now. Bless your Word to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Miss Deborah Wright did come home yesterday, but continue to pray for her, okay? She's recovering from her knee replacement that she had, but she did come home finally yesterday. Okay, Malachi and chapter number 1. Again today, we're going to talk about a vision of God. A vision of God, seeing God, maybe in the way that maybe we haven't thought of for a while. I don't know, you may have. But in Malachi chapter 1, beginning with verse number 1, says, the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. Well, Malachi is writing to who? He's writing to Israel. He's writing a burden that's on his heart. He has a concern for them, for the people of God. You know, man, God has always seemed like God, a man that is concerned about his children. All through the Bible, we see this. Now, here's Malachi. He has a burden about Israel here. He says in verse 2, I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Jacob's brother, saith the Lord, yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. They shall build, but I will throw down, and they shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. And your eyes shall see, and you shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel. Verse 6 is our text here. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priest, that despise my name. And you say, wherein have we despised thy name? It was that God expected from them. That's what Elijah is telling them in verse number 6. He's telling them what God expects from them. Notice he says, a son will honor his father. Why? Because he is his son, his father. Right? A son will honor his father because he is his father. Also, we see a servant who is obligated to his master will by also, obligation, will honor his servant. Even though his service is voluntarily, he still is going to honor and respect his master. Now we see here that God's children, in this last part of this verse here, O priest that despise my name, and you say, wherein how we despise thy name? And of course he tells us in the rest of the verses, we don't have time to read all these verses, but we see here that if I have a father, and I honor my father, and I respect my father, and I even fear my father, then if I do my fleshly father this way, then I am to do my earthly father that way also. In other words, we find here that is very important. Today, what is the fear of the Lord is my thought today. Now, the next couple of Sundays, we're going to talk about also, why should we fear the Lord? And also, what are the benefits of fearing God? Fearing God. I'm afraid that we've lost something the last 30 and 40 years, folks, that we used to have in our own hearts and our own lives. That is to fear God, to fear God. The reason that The reason that I got saved, folks, because I feared what God said. Amen. I feared what He said. I heard the Word of God as I was growing up. I heard it over and over and over again, how I need to be saved. And there was a heaven and there was a hell. And I needed to trust Christ as my Savior. If I didn't, I would spend eternity in hell. And after a period of time of hearing that, in Sunday school and in church, God put me in a state of fear. Of fear. Now, I'm talking about fearing God for what God says God means. Okay? That's what I'm talking about. The Word of God is true from cover to cover. And no matter who you're reading it at, God means what He says, and He says what He means. And we need, as individuals, to fear what God says. What I mean by that, we need to take it literally, and we need to accept it as from God and believe that if we don't take heed to what God says, we are going to suffer the consequences because we do not take heed to God's Word. Now, what is the fear of the Lord? What is this? What is the fear of the Lord? I want today, if the Lord would help us, I want us to understand that properly fearing God will change our lives. It'll change the way we think. It'll change the places we go. It'll change the things that we do in our life if we fear God as He would have us to. I want to help us to have an understanding that God is to be feared. God is to be feared. We're going to look at an example in just a few minutes from the Word of God, how God was feared. And there's many examples, and we're going to just use one today, okay? But I want you to realize, for example, in John chapter 3, Nicodemus came to Jesus one night. He says, I know that you're a master. You're sent from God because of the miracles that you do. You've got to be different from any man I've ever met. And Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again in order to see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus didn't understand that. He asked Jesus, how could that be? And then Jesus told him, you must be born of the Spirit and of the Word in order to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, that was God speaking to Nicodemus, and what God told Nicodemus, it was true. And we find out later on, I believe, personally, that Nicodemus got saved. But nevertheless, Jesus told Nicodemus the truth. And I really believe that, as I heard the truth many times in my life, that put fear into the heart, into the mind of Nicodemus, and that's the reason he got saved, because he received Christ as his Savior. So what I'm saying here is there are many examples in the Word of God that we could go to find out how important it is that we learn to fear God. What is the fear of the Lord? What is this? We know that God is love. We know God is all characteristics of God. But I'm afraid today we have neglected the fact that we need to fear God. We need to fear God. What's happened? I'm afraid, again, in the last 30 to 40 years, when I was a little boy coming up, my dad, he went to the store, country store. We were a farmer. He would go to the store and tell the man that he needed something on the farm. If it was fertilizer, if it was seed, it didn't matter what it was. The man wrote it down, what daddy wanted, and he took my daddy at his word that he would pay for it. My daddy's word to that man was just as good as a bank to that individual. And that's the way people bargain, and that's the way people did in those days. But folks, through the last 30 and 40 years, things have changed dramatically. Dramatically. And it has been a slow process to where today, that we are very cautious to take most people at their word, because we don't know whether they believe, whether they mean what they say or not. And I'm afraid it's pushed off and rubbed off of us in this society today that the majority of people in the world today don't believe this book. They don't believe it. They don't know it, and they don't believe it. And therefore, we have a generation of people in the world today that you can go to their house, you can knock on their doors, and you can try to talk to them about this book and about God, and they will not listen to you. They will not believe you. Why? Because they don't believe the people that they work with. Okay? Their lives are not what they say they are. Sometimes we as Christians are not in front of them what we say we are. And therefore, we have a generation today, a world today full of people that will not and have problems taking each other at their word. And therefore, when we try to present something that we know is true, why, they will not even take that. They will not even take that. And how sad it is where we are today, folks. But you know what? I fear God because I know that God says what He means. I know He says what He means. And if I take what God says and I present it to somebody else, it's my prayer that the Spirit of God will put fear in their hearts and their minds, that they too may take heed to the Word of God. Folks, this is the only weapon, this is the only thing that we sword that we have right here is this book to help this generation of people that we live in to come to the knowledge of God as their personal Savior. And we need to use it. This is the only thing we can use. They're not going to take my word. They're not going to take your word. And sad it is, most won't take this word, but thank God we still have this word to share with them and tell them about God and how they need to take heed to the Word of God. We cannot live our life the way God wants us to live our life, folks, without fearing God. We can't do it. It's impossible. It's impossible. And we need to realize that. And we today, I'm afraid as churches today, we have lost the meaning of fearing God. And therefore, what do we have? We have churches today that have no effect or little effect upon the world that we live in, because they see so much that people are not genuine. They're not genuine. Therefore, they do not fear God. They do not fear God. Again, when we come up, people went to church. Church was much different then than it is now. Much different. People went to church because they love God. Now, I'm not saying nobody here come to church because you don't love God today, okay? Well, I'm saying as a majority, people feared God then. They feared God. You're talking about rain. You say God will send rain when we need it. He will. But brother, I believe also sometimes we have not because we ask not. I believe that with all my heart. Listen, when I was coming up, people used to go to church. I mean, not just church time. They go a certain time and just pray for rain. I mean, they trusted God. They feared God. They believed God's word was true. You have not because you ask not. We need to ask sometimes for things that we need in our lives. They feared God. They feared God more than we do today, I'm afraid. Because of the fact they took God at His word. They took God literally at His word. What He said, you could count on it. You could count on it. Therefore, they did that. They did that. So we find here that the church today is not having the effect on the world that it could have, because I'm afraid that we do not fear God. We do not fear God. I want to read a few verses over in Ephesians. Let God's word be true and every man a liar. I believe that. And we I don't know how to say this, but sometimes I'm afraid that we don't believe God's word. We don't believe it. We don't fear God as we ought to fear God, see. And it's very important. What God says, He means, folks. He told Nicodemus, you must be born again to see or to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, Nicodemus could take that or leave it. But it was still true, and it wasn't going to change the fact that it was true. And we find that because of that, Nicodemus, I believe, got saved. Now look in Ephesians chapter 5. I want to look at some verses here. Ephesians chapter 5. I want to begin reading with verse number 21. Let's see. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. Talking about the marriage life. He said, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, folks, I didn't write that. But God did. But God did. And I believe it's true. I believe it's true. And if you want your life to be what God wants it to be, if I want my life to be what God wants it to be, we have to take heed to these words. We have to take heed to these words. Listen, the Bible is more than just a book, okay? It's God's book. It's God's book to us, to instruct us, and to help us that we might live the way God wants us to live in this world. Now notice what else it says in verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Again, that's what God says. The husband is the head of the wife. Okay? Now notice, therefore, verse 24, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Okay, now let's look at the man's part. Husbands, love your wives. I believe God means that when he said it. He means that. We need to fear God. We need to recognize, hey, I am to love my wife if you're married today. Love your wife. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Why? That it might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it unto himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Notice verse 30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall join unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. This is the great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of us, every one of you in particular, so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Chapter 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. I believe that. I believe that. My dad, when I come up, my dad never whipped me but one time. That's all it took. I took my dad at his word, you know? And I realized that, hey, if I don't obey my dad, I'm going to be in trouble. I'm going to be in trouble. He put fear in my heart that if I didn't do what I ought to do, I had to suffer the consequences. And therefore, I took heed to what he said. I could be sitting in church back here with my friends, and my dad be sitting up here at church, and all of a sudden, I know what's going on back here. My dad look around at me. All he had to do is turn around and look at me. And I knew what he was saying to me. Now, it wasn't that I feared my dad. I just shook in my feet, my sock, my shoes. But what I'm saying is this, I took my dad at his word. What he said, you could count on it, you know? And if I did wrong, I was in trouble. Now, he may not get me when I'm in church, but when I get home, it's a different story, okay? But what I'm saying is fearing people, fearing God, that is taking them at their word. And this is why we want to look at God today and realize this is very, very important. His word is, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God the Father. Now we see all this is very important here. And we realize this. Now I want to turn over and go back to, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Look back here in verse number 26. Ephesians 4, 26. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. I believe this, folks. I believe all this is true. We need to take heed. And God has given us His Word that we might live the way He wants us to live. Neither give place to the devil. Verse 28 said, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Now, verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Folks, I believe that. I believe that. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of what? Edifying. Edifying. We need to take God's word literally, folks, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. It says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. All these things need to be put away from us. Put away from us. Are we taking heed to the Word of God? And be kind, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, love, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God, as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and has given Himself for us an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an adulterer, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God, of Christ, and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Folks, I don't want the wrath of God upon me. We need to take heed to the Word of God. We need to take heed to the Word of God. Now, what is the fear of God? Take your Bibles and turn back to Genesis chapter 3. We're going to look at an example of this, fearing God. Very familiar story. All of you know about Adam and Eve. Fear is a feeling of respect, respecting, reverencing. But when we talk about fearing God, it goes further than that. It's not just reverencing God. It's respecting Him as who He is. Fear is an unpleasant emotion that's caused by a sense of danger. Fear is. There's danger ahead. It may be directed to God. It may be directed to mankind, from God or from mankind. It also may be helpful or it may be harmful. Fear. It can be either way. It can help us or it can harm us. In either way. Now, what is the fear of the Lord? To fear God simply, I think, means to be afraid of Him. I think it means to be afraid of God. You say, well, why should we be afraid of God? Because God says what He says, and it means what He says when it comes to the Word of God. Listen, I'm thankful that I feared God enough to know that if I die, I'd go to hell because the Word of God tells me that. Now, if I fear God and I don't want to go to hell and I trust Him as my Savior because of the Word of God, all these other things we've been reading, what good are they? Are they not also to be applied? I think they should. I think they are to be applied in our lives. All these things we talk about, we've been reading about today. So we see that it's necessary. To fear God is a realization of God's holy wrath at sin. God's holy wrath at sin. He's going to deal with sin in our lives. He's going to deal with it, folks. Everything that we have in our life. God does not allow one to get by with wrongdoing. His children. He doesn't allow us to get by with wrongdoing. We're going to have the benefit. The wrath is going to be here. Now, I want you to notice the first mention of fear in the Bible. The first mention of fear in the Bible here is in Genesis chapter 3. Look at verses 1. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman saith unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. The first mention of fear in the Bible here. We notice the cause and the occasion here. Adam and Eve both were warned not to eat of the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden. They were warned. But the serpent came along and beguiled them, the woman. And we find because of that, they sinned. They disobeyed God. Now, I can't imagine Adam and Eve with God before this happened. That God would come down in the cool of the day and fellowship with them. They had a good relationship and all this. But I want you to notice what happened here. When they disobeyed God, things changed. They changed. And we see here the first mention of fear in the Bible that's connected here with Adam and Eve and their disobedience, you see. Now, when they took of that fruit, Eve did, she ate it, and she offered to Adam, and he ate it. Something took place. Sin came in. Sin came in here. Now, I want you to notice what followed sin. What followed sin? Look at, if you will, please, in verse number 8. Verse number 8. They did wrong. They did what God told them not to do. Look in verse number 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife, what? Hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Something took place when they ate of that fruit. You know what took place? Exactly what God told them would take place. That's what took place. We see here now, instead of delighting for God to come and fellowship with them, here now, within themselves, they are displeased. You know why? Because they disobeyed God. They're not happy. They're displeased with themselves because they did what God told them not to do. They're displeased. They're displeased with themselves. There's an awareness here now that God is displeased with us. God doesn't like what we've done. We've done something that's wrong, and God knows it. Therefore, they are afraid, literally. They're afraid of what's going to consequences is going to be here. We also see not only that, but they're afraid of judgment because God told them the consequences. They're afraid of what God is going to do because God, what God says He's going to do, He's going to do it. They fear the judgment. We also see here they are aware of God's displeasure in their life. And also, number three is, they are afraid that God is going to come to them And here he is. He's coming to them. The approach of the judge is coming. The judge is coming to them and to talk to them. Now notice what happened here. That was the cause and the occasion. Now notice the effect here in the latter part of verse 8. It says, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord and Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Sin, my friend, sin is itself part of sin's punishment. Do you know that? Sin is a part of sin's punishment in our lives whenever we do wrong. God had become now a threat to them, a terror, if you please, to them. We find they had become a terror to themselves. Their conscience accused themselves of what they'd done. They were guilty. They knew they were guilty. It set their sin before them when they did wrong. They knew they had done wrong. They knew they were not to do it. So what did they do? They sowed fig leaves to cover themselves. Have you ever done something wrong and covered it up? I think we all have at times in our life, or tried to cover it up, you know? Try to cover it up. Not realizing that God sees everything. Mom and Dad may not, but God does. They see everything. God sees everything here. Now notice the question. It's a startling question in verse number 9. Adam and Eve, they did wrong. They disobeyed God. They're guilty. They know they're guilty. They know that God's coming. And we find the question in verse number 9 that God asked Adam. Look at what he says. And he said, verse number 9, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto them, what? Where art thou? Where art thou, Adam? Where art thou? My, what a startling question. I don't believe God was asking the place where he was, because I know God knew the place he was at. But I really believe that God was asking, in what condition are you, Adam? What's happened to you? You're in a bad condition now. In what condition are you? Because you've done what you shouldn't have done. This is what you get for eating the forbidden fruit. My, can you imagine? Being displeased, God, and realizing within themselves that God is now displeased with me. God is displeased with me for what I've done. Not only is he displeased with me, he's going to judge me. And he's going to approach me. All three. They're waiting for that now. Because they disobeyed God. Now this is fear, folks. I want you to know something. They're not in a happy situation. They're very fearful for what God is going to do to them at this time. And we find here, because they did not take God at his word. They did not take God at his word. This now is in their lives. This now is in their lives. The question, where art thou? Where art thou? Notice in verse number 9, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Notice he said, and he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Notice how God approached Adam. Even though Adam and Eve disobeyed him, they did exactly what he told them not to do. I want you to notice how God pursued Adam in kindness. In kindness. Why? Because he wanted him to recover. He wasn't going to destroy Adam because he did wrong. He wanted Adam to be different now. Okay? Because he disobeyed God. Now notice God came in the cool of the day, in the night. And then he did not come, and it did not come in the night. He came in the cool of the day. Can you imagine how much more fearful Adam would have been and Eve if God had come in the night? He didn't choose to come in the night. He came in the cool of the day when he'd been coming to him. See? Because he didn't want him to be so disturbed. He wanted him to know that, hey, I still love you. You disobeyed me. And I'm glad you fear me now, because this fear in your heart is going to help you to be better from now on. It's going to help you be better from now on. So we find, neither did he come in the heat of the day, but he came in the cool of the day. God didn't come when he was angry. He came in the cool of the day. The cool of the day here. Now notice the answer in verse number 10. We just read, and he said, I heard the voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Now Adam did not admit he was guilty, did he? He did not own his own guilt. Yet, in what he did, by owning his shame and fear, he knew he did wrong. He knew he did wrong. Fear and love must coexist in order for both to be, for us to be healthy, and also that we may please and rightly serve God. And so this is what we see about God himself. God loved them in spite of what they did. I'm glad to that. Fear does a lot of things to us. You know that? It does a lot of things to us. I know my time is gone. We'll have to continue next week. Here. But I want us to realize today, what is the fear of the Lord? What is the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord is simply taking God at His word. We must believe what God says. What God says. See, fear of the Lord is an acknowledgement. It is an acknowledgement and an appreciation of God's holy hatred for sin. Can you imagine what this world would be like if God didn't hate sin? Wow. It would be terrible. It's bad enough now. But the fear of the Lord is to acknowledge that. Fearing God is presented in the Scriptures, folks. It's presented throughout the Scriptures here as a means by which we can keep from being drawn into sin. Being drawn into sin. That's where it's presented from the Scriptures here. And may God help us to realize this today as we continue next week with talking about the fear of God. What is the fear of the Lord? Next week we're going to talk about why should we fear God? Why should we fear God? We talked about it because He says what He says and He means what He says. But we're going to go further into this next week, the Lord willing. Why should we fear God? And also, what are the benefits when we fear God? What are the benefits when we fear God? Listen, when we obey God, God's going to give us some benefits, folks. You know that? He's going to bless us when we obey Him. When we don't obey Him, we're asking for trouble. We're asking for trouble. And we see this in the life of Adam and Eve. And this is the first occasion of fear in the Bible. Do we fear God? Do we literally fear God? Are we aware of His Word and what His Word is trying to tell us to do and help us to do in our lives? May the Lord help us as we continue this next week. Father, thank You for loving us in spite of us. We thank You for the Word of God, Lord, that You've given to us to put fear in our lives. God, that we might realize that You are in charge. You're in control, Lord, and that You do love us. Yet, God, You want us to bring honor to You. You want us to obey You. And God, I pray, Lord, as we continue this next week, that You would help us, Lord, to understand what it is to fear God. Lord, bless now the service we're about to go into. Lord, You bless our singing, the specials, the choir. That's our pastor, Lord. He brings the word that You've laid upon his heart to share with us today. Help that one that's lost to get saved. May Your children be strengthened and encouraged. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.